Welcome to Global River Church's Teaching of the Week. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about this podcast and additional resources, please visit globalriver.org.
One thing's for sure, when you have a guest in your house, especially your boss, you let him win. Yeah. You let him win. Just remember that. Pastor Thomas, somebody says to me, I was born at nighttime, but I was not born last night. Yeah. I know. Praise the Lord. Are you having fun already? Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Give him praise to him. He deserves it. He's worthy of all honor and glory. He is worthy. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let me ask you, I didn't have my secretary. Well, my secretary is not doing well, so you don't have you do not have a handout today. So I know that Pastor Tom takes lots and lots of notes, and I have lots and lots of scriptures. So hopefully we will get done by 3 o'clock. Milton, that guy Milton, he started. Whatever that time was, 10 o'clock or 11, and he finished at 5 o'clock in the evening. And remember that, Milton? Who is it? Milton. Yeah. It was it. Yeah, yeah. So I don't want to hear anybody here or yawning that you're getting ready to go. Amen. Amen, Miss Adi. Amen. So let me ask you a question. When you become a believer, when you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you gave your life to the Lord, I don't know if you remember the day. I remember exactly the day. I mean, I scream it out with all my being with me that day. I received Christ like 10 times to make sure I get it. But the day I believe that I got baptized with the Holy Spirit, even though it was not evidence of speaking in tongues, but I believe because that day, man, it was just a hunger in me just to be a witness and to tell people about Jesus from that day forward. So, if you have received Christ as your Lord and Savior, really, if you have, from your heart, God has deposited in you the Holy Spirit. Amen? If you're a child of God, you do have the Holy Spirit in you. Yes or no? Come on, church. I don't want you to fall asleep on me. I want you to hear amen if you do have it. If you don't have it, then you stay quiet because you don't have it. But there's no way if you have the Holy Spirit in you, I'm going to be standing over here and you're going to say amen. What do you mean? What kind of amen is that? Not even Satan heard that. You got to say it louder enough that the demons from hell and Satan himself will hear. I'm a child of God. I belong to the Lord. The Holy Spirit lives in me. And I have power over you because God is with me. Amen. Let them know. Let the world know. Let Satan know that you belong to God. But it's also some people up there who have prayed the prayer of salvation. And I don't know if they just do it to quiet you down or to just to say, you know, I'm going to be part of this and I don't know what's going to happen. And that you can see the life that they go and, you know, they go here and there. So you can tell that they not really did it from the heart. That their heart did not change. The heart did not change. So they still, anyway, just almost make them believe that they are Christians. But a true Christian, a truly believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, shine in darkness. If you're not shining in the world, in the dark of this world, and all this craziness, then something is wrong. Something is wrong, and I can tell you, it's not God that is wrong. Something in me that did not change, that did not really grasp. That I do not have the Holy Spirit because my life have not changed. Amen. So that's the question. when I preach, sometimes I say things that they might offend somebody. And Pastor Tom says, you think? Thank God that I do have a senior pastor who's sent grace to me since I started here. My Pastor Tom, and he's my senior pastor, my friend. But he has sent grace. I remember the first week that I was here, I was still thinking that I was working. I was driving a truck and talking to the Italian guy, and you know how this from New York, and the way we talk, the way he talks, it was crazy. And I had a meeting with Pastor Tom, and Pastor Tom called me, and I was cleaning one of those vacuum cleaners here, because apparently they didn't know how to clean vacuum cleaners. So I was cleaning the vacuum cleaner because the thing did not work. And my phone rang, and for some reason, my mind was someplace else, I guess, and I heard the phone, and he says, where are you? And I said, what do you think I'm going to be? That's how my answer. I'm a church. And he goes, we have a meeting. I was like, we have a meeting? Oh, Pastor Tom. I was like, oh, Pastor Tom, I'm sorry. So Pastor Tom always been very grateful to me. Thank you, Jesus. So, I might say some things that your ears might go a different direction. But let's go to this chapter 3 of Colossians. Chapter 3 of Colossians. Have heavenly thoughts and desires. This is the title of the message today. Have heavenly thoughts and desires. Okay, I'm going to read from the NIV. That's the Bible that I kind of came to know the Lord, so I stick with it. I don't like to change too much. I've been married for 48 years. I stick with it. I just stay with it. I don't change things. So... This is the same Bible. Some pages, man, they stick like, it look like I have glue, I guess, my finger. And then I had to play with it, man, to get her open. All right. Colossians 3. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you die, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Listen to this verse. Because of this, the wrath of God is coming. Because of this, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as this: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and it is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. Clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these things, put on love, which is binds them all together in perfect unity. Hopefully I got time. I have lots of scriptures to share. And I know if you guys can allow me to do it. But anyway, all the time. But I wanted to connect these verses with why many of our prayers will not be answered. Why many of our prayers will not be answered. But I tell you that God always hears. God is listening not only to the believers, to his children, but God is listening to every human being. He knows the intentions of your heart. He knows your thoughts, even if you're not a believer. God is watching. You know, and it's many, many places in the Bible you can see, but in Genesis 18:20, I don't know if you heard, that's the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, and when the Lord says that when the angels of the Lord or the Lord came to visit Abraham or to pass and met Abraham going to Sodom and Gomorrah, he stopped there and he says, should I hide this from Israel, from Abraham? And then he says, I came down to see if what my ears is hearing in heaven is really that sin is that great of this nation, the old Sodom and Gomorrah. You can read it. It's Genesis 18, that verse exactly that I'm paraphrasing is verse 20. So God hears it. God knows. He's watching. He's watching. So God always hears his children. But I'm going to tell you the things when God's eyes, when God's ears will shut down. Unconfessed sin will not allow, or God will not hear a prayer in an unconfessed sin. In other words, from a believer who knows that he have done something wrong, but is prideful enough to say, I don't care, I'm just going to do it. And I'm not, if you continue doing that, knowing that you are sinning, and you don't want to tell the Lord, confess it to the Lord, God will not hear your prayer. God will not hear your prayer. I know that we talk about grace, and Pastor Tom mentioned grace. I believe that grace is given to us so that I don't do what I want to do. Grace is the power of God in me to do what pleases to him. And yes, you hear many people who says, well, you got to forgive and you got to forget. And no, you forgive, but you can't forget. If I go through a red light and they take me to jail and the judge slapped me with a $500 ticket and put me 3 days in jail, you think I'm going to forget that I went through a red light? What happened if I leave the courthouse and I forget like nothing happened? Like I don't even know it's a red light. I will do it again. So you remember. The remember is not condemnation. The remembering is for you not to do it again. And receive the forgiveness of God and says, I have been forgiven. I was that, but no longer I'm doing that because I'm a child of God. I belong to the Lord. Amen? That's the reason you remember. Not to feel guilty or judgment, but to say, thank God that I no longer desire to do that. Amen? So, he will not hear your prayers if you have unconfessed sin. Wrong motives. You know, when the Bible says that the Lord Jesus will give all the desires of your heart. Okay, if you 60 or 70 and you're struggling to pay your rent, but you wanted to have a Corvette, and you ask God, he's going to say, what do you need it for? What do you need a Corvette at 60 years old and you can even pay your rent? So your motives is not right. You're trying to get something for something that you desire, that you your own desire for something that is not good, be good for you. That's what it is. So God says, I will not answer the prayer. I will not answer the wrong motives of your prayer. Or lack of faith. Lack of faith, if you don't believe what you ask, God will not answer. The Bible says that you're like a wave. They go back and forth. You believe one now, then you don't believe later. You goes all over the place. God would not answer that prayer either. He hears it, but he's not going to answer it. Now, I'm going to take you to a lot of scriptures, and hopefully we're going to make it. Let's go to 2 Chronicles 33. So I cry for mercy, okay? From the beginning, Pastor Tom already sent it to me. Okay, 2 Chronicles 33. Don't think the message is going to stay sweet and sound. It's going to get a little rough. Okay? You might say, oh, Pastor Willie is being nice. All right. 2 Chronicles 33, verse 1. I'm going to read verse 1 and 2. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 55 years. Verse 2 says that he did evil in the eyes of the Lord, following the detestable practices of the nations that the Lord had driven out before the Israelites. I don't know if you remember, you read the Bible. God specifically tell them, you should not do what these nations do. Clearly. But anyway, they went different direction. So now, in the same chapter, we're going to jump to verse 10 and 13. Hear this. In verse 10, it says, the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. The Lord spoke to the king and all the people, and nobody paid attention. I believe that this is what was going on in the United States, not only United States, but around the world. God is speaking to the leaders of the nation, and nobody is paying attention. You think United States is paying attention to what's going on? No. You think this nation has repented? In fact, it's getting worse and worse. I was watching the other day, I went to watch the news from whatever is going on, and they have this gay parade, whatever they call it, pride parade now, in Europe somewhere. And I'm looking, I'm like thinking, how in the world, how far away have we gone from God? How far away, and a nation is going in the same direction? Not paying attention. It says there, his people, but they pay no attention. So the Lord brought against them the army, commanders of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh prisoner, put a hook on his nose, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon. You see what happened? When you disobey God, when he speaks to you and you don't listen, and he tells you, how many times he's going to bring a word to you, how many times he's going to preach to you or through the pastor speak to you, and we are not listening. Sorry, I'm speaking as a general for all the believers in Christ, myself included probably, and many of you, the Christian church, are not listening. Now listening, this church should have 600 people. And all the churches should be packed in the time that we live in. We're not doing the work that he called us to do. We're not even praying. I mean, we have prayers and we have 10 people, 15 people. When the prayer is called, when the pastors call a prayer meeting, the church should be packed just as well as on Sunday. But the church is not praying. Now, I want to, the next verses, they are wonderful. Because you can see the mercy of God when they personally repent. When you lift up a desperate prayer to God, He can see it in your heart. He knows that you mean it. He knows that you're repenting. He knows that you want to give everything out and just surrender your life to Him. He knows. And you can see, even though with all this evil thing that this king did and Judah and Israel, when they prayed desperately prayer to God, God heard their prayer and forgive them. Listen. In his distress, he saw the favor of the Lord, his God, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his father. You want your answer to a prayer, you better get rid of any pride in your life. You want God to forgive you, you better humble yourself and cry out to God for mercy. And ask Him to help you. If you are pride, you have pride in your heart, you say, Lord, I surrender my life. Take my life if you have to, but I don't want to have any pride on me. I don't want to have any unforgiveness sins in my life. I don't want to have any hate to anybody. I don't want to have anything hidden from you. Because it is heaven and it is hell. And the consequences sometimes they're terrible. It says in verse 13, and when he prayed to him, to God, the Lord was moved by his entreaty and listened to his plea. So he brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom, then Manasseh knew that the Lord is God. Then he knew that the Lord is God. Sometimes God has to allow you to go through the ringer. Sometimes He has to allow you to go through a terrible time for you to humble yourself and to you realize that the Lord is God. That without Him, I cannot do nothing. Without Him, I cannot have all this stuff that I have. I need God. I need Him. And you need to humble yourself and pray a desperate prayer. Because I'm telling you, I hear people, anyway, it bothers me. I can tell you it bothers me. Many people are praying in the toilet. Many people are having a sandwich and turning the channels, and they say they're praying. And many people are in the shower. God can heal you in anywhere or deliver you anywhere. He can. But if that's the time that you give into the Lord, sitting in the toilet. I mean, come on. Sorry, whoever's listening, but I mean, you know, it really hurts you because I heard somebody tell me that I read the Bible a long time, and I was like, what? I didn't say nothing, because if I say something, I would have been something crazy. Did we spend time with the Lord? Did you really sacrifice time? And He says, this time is for me and the Lord. This time, nothing can come against me and my Lord. This isn't the time for me and the Lord. Where is your time with the Lord? How much time you spend with Him, praying, talking to Him, and let Him talk to you. Let Him show you the things that you're not doing right. Because sometimes we are like a machine. We just talk, and then we go. And God sits there with the arms crossed and said, okay, I have a lot of things to tell you, but you're too busy. You are way too busy. You're spending all your time and things that it's not going to help you. Let me tell you how you should go. Amen. Let's go to 2 Kings the prayer of Hezekiah. Hezekiah. 2 Kings 20. Second King 20, verse 1 and 3. Verse 1 and 3, it says, in those days Hezekiah became ill and was in the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, went to him and says, this is what the Lord says, put your house in order, because you are going to die. You will not recover. Look at verse 2. 2 and 3. Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Hezekiah was a good king up to now. Hezekiah was a very good king. He did all the right thing. But he got sick. And then he put to remembrance all these things that he did, which is good. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong when you tell the Lord, Lord, have mercy on me. I have done so many things, Lord. I have been doing this, whatever. And you pray to the Lord. So Hezekiah did it. He says, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. He says, remember, O Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with a wholehearted devotion and have done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And the Bible says, if you keep reading, that God heard his prayer. And he sent the prophet, go back and tell Hezekiah that I will give him 15 more years. That's the only, I think, I'm not sure, that's the only place in the Bible where God specifically tell a person how many years you're going to live. Yeah, he told them 15 more years. So he knew that in 15 years he was going to die. Now, sounds good, right? Sounds good. Let's go to 2 Chronicles. Look what happened. Look what happened in his life. 2 Chronicles 32. I'm going through all the scriptures to show you that God is God of love and mercy, but he demand obedience all the time. He demand that you would not think that you can move a finger without him allowing you to do it. That you cannot blink your eyes without God saying you can blink. He is in control of everything and he knows everything. And the little things in you will hinder a prayer. Look at 2 Chronicles 32. Let me read something here to you so that we can get this. 24, verse 2 Chronicles 32, 24 and 26 verses. It says, in those days Hezekiah became ill and was in the point of death, which is the same thing we read. He prayed to the Lord who answered him and gave him a miracle sign. But Hezekiah's heart was proud, and he did not respond to the kindness shown him. Therefore, the Lord's wrath was up on him and on Judah and Jerusalem. In verse 26, we see, basically repeating it, then Hezekiah repented of the pride of his heart, as did the people of Jerusalem before the Lord's wrath. Before the Lord's wrath did not come upon them during the days of Hezekiah. Sounds very good, right? Sounds bueno, amen? It sounds bueno. Look at verse 31, the same chapter. Verse 31. But when the envoys were sent by the rulers of Babylon, to ask him about the miracle sign, the cur and the lamb, God left him to test. God left him to test him, to know everything that was in his heart. When the Babylonian came, he showed him. I don't know if you saw when President Trump, and they probably do the same over here, we're not going to exclude United States, but when President Trump went to China, I don't know if you saw the whole thing, but I mean, they put a show. They show him everything. I mean, it was like, okay, I understand honoring, I understand all that, and you do. But God here, this guy did the same with the Babylonians. They came over and he says, the prophet came to him and says, where were these people? He says, oh, they came from Babylonia or whatever. And he says, what did they came to see? Oh, I show them everything that I have. I show them my treasure. I show them my this. I show them this. And oh, and God says, I wanted to see what was in your heart. He was prideful. And you can see later on that it's still the wrath of God came upon Jerusalem and Judah because of the pride of the king and the people. We cannot have pride. It doesn't matter what you have. It doesn't matter what you do. Everything belongs to him. Everything belongs to him. And you give him all the glory and all the honor. You praise him for what he gave you. You praise him that he gives you one more day to live. Every morning when you get up, you say, thank you, Lord, that you woke me up today, that I have one more day. Help me, Lord, to represent you today. Teach me, show me what to do today, because you only have one day to live. Amen. Don't think you have tomorrow. No one here is promised to be here tomorrow. You don't have it tomorrow. It's only today. Amen. So before I do all this, I don't know, it's the first time that I have all these commotions here, I think. but before I do all this, I want to ask a few questions. Lord Jesus, I still in two line. I want to ask you these questions. How many of you believe that the rapture of the church is very near? Everybody knows that's not the second coming of Christ. I saw probably 20 hands. If you are truly a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you have given your life to the Lord, you got to be sure that Christ is coming for his bride. That Christ is coming for the church. And if you didn't raise your hands not believing that he's coming for you, then maybe you're not a bride. I'm just saying, Teresa, right? I'm just saying. I'm just saying. But the rapture is near. Christ is at the door to call his people to heaven. All the signs that you see, everything that you hear is just showing you and pointing to you that Christ is at the door. Even Paul and Peter and all of them, especially Paul, he really believed that Christ was coming while he's still alive. So the moment that Christ was resurrected and went to heaven, he could make it the next day. Because right there is starting the last day. And we are in the last day. When is the last day? Today. Today is the last day. It's not tomorrow. It's today. Christ can come before I finish preaching. The Lord can come at any time. And that was the question. If you know that the rapture is very, very near, as any of you know the day of the time that is going to happen? No, you don't know. I don't know. No pastors. If you hear, many people listen to all these things and YouTube and preaching. If you hear any preacher, no matter who it is, that tells you that this is coming, turn off the TV or change it or whatever, or never watch it. because nobody knows the time, the day and the time the Christ is coming back. That's why he says, be ye ready. Be ready. Every moment of your life, every second of your life, be ready. You have some people you have not forgiven, you better go and visit them and say, I forgive you. You better tell them. It doesn't matter if it was your ex-husband, your ex-wife, or whoever it is. You better say, I'll forgive you. I'm done with this. I forgive you because God has forgiven me all my stuff. So listen, you can go free. Whoever it is, it doesn't matter who it is. You better forgive because the time is today. You might go today, or Christ might come today. If you have not forgiven, you will make it. The Bible says it. The Bible says, if you don't forgive, I will not forgive you. I believe the Bible. I believe the Bible. So, if we don't know the time, does that mean, again, that can happen at any time? Yes. Yes, the answer is yes. It can happen at any time. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians. How do you say? Thessalonians. What's the difference? I hear the same. I know my wife sometimes says some things and she corrected me and said, what's the difference? I don't hear no different. I hear the same. All right, chapter 5, Thessalonians. Chapter 5. It says, now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. Listen, church, listen, believers. If you are believers, you better listen. For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them. Suddenly, a slave pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day shall surprise you like a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-control. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-control, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. And that's what we're doing today. Encourage one another. So this thing over here, I'm going to tell you, this is how we live. We live in the light. There's no darkness in us. Those who are in Christ, amen? Those who are in Christ, you see, is no darkness there. I don't know that glass, but you see that it's transparent. Yeah. There's nothing in it. Nothing that will hinder your prayers. Amen. Nothing will hinder your prayers because I'm connected to the Lord. The Word of God is the water that cleans me. When we come to the Lord, as many times I say, we come dark as can be, full of all kinds of crazy stuff. But if you use the word, listen to me, if you use the word to to apply it to your life and you fill yourself with the word, little by little, you will see that the darkness inside you, the craziness of life, it starts disappearing. And by the time you know, your life will be completely transparent because your life will be clean with His water, with His word. But that is when you're truly a believer, your word, your life changes. The inside out, it starts to come out. You don't hold any longer. But what happened with those who confess Christ, but they not really did it with their heart? They might have just a little walk, a little bit, and then little by little, they just add a little bit of the world. Look what happened. You already see the dirty old the things in your life. And then they go to church, but they start thinking, well, you know, when I get out here, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to go hang out. And then you add a little bit more of that, and a little bit more. By the time you know, you become just like the world, and now you are participating in the world, and you're trying to be in the church, and you don't even know who you are. You become so confused that you end up doing crazy things, and you think, are you okay? That's God calls you to be cleansed by His word and by the Holy Spirit, and your life need to constantly put in more of this. The only thing that comes out of you is His word, is His prayer, and no matter what people do, no matter how they push you, no matter what they say to you, you're still spilling out the word of God. You're still talking about Jesus. You still say, I can stand because Christ is in me. Come on, give it praise to the Lord. This is what God wants for His people. God wants you to live a life that represents Him. Yes, you can say that you don't. I mean, the Bible is very clear. You don't say, oh, I'm a saint. I don't do nothing. You're lying. But the Holy Spirit that is in us, that's one thing that always gets me. The people do things and say, well, I know. And they say, well, I'm a human. No, you're not a human. You're a sinner. Well, that's it. Because it cannot be that God have separated me and basically, I forgot the word in English now, castigar. But it brings that, not judgment, but it brings that conviction in me, even if I just have the minus little thought. The Holy Spirit immediately says, if I think it twice, what are you thinking? Immediately. I mean, am I the only one? It cannot be. It's every person who has the Son of God, who has received Christ, and you have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit immediately lets you know that you have put a little bit of this in you. Little bit. And when you do that, immediately the Holy Spirit says, you have contaminated. And you say, oh, Lord, no, Lord, forgive me, Father. Forgive me. I like grace, like the ticket or the thing, you get it in your mind, you say, I won't do that again. I will not go that way. I don't watch that thing again. I don't participate with these friends that I used to. I'm not gonna go to that place any longer. If you're truly a believer. If you're not truly a believer and you continue doing that, I'm telling you, today is the day of repentance. Today is the day of salvation. And today is the day that you need to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I surrender my life to you because I do not want to go to hell. I do not want to suffer. I want to keep my life to Jesus. Today is the day. Don't live that kind of life. Don't live that kind of life. Humble yourself. Hug somebody. Not just your friends. The Bible says if you do that with your friends, even the pagans do that. You got to go to the person who offend you and says, I forgive you. Yes. I forgive you. Yes. Amen? Amen? We have to. Amen. Don't let those things stay in you. Or not just forgiveness. It's a lot of things. I can't mention all the things in life. I mean, only God knows the everything. But you know what you not have done right. You know it, because the Holy Spirit is in you. So if you know it, tell the Lord. He knows it. What he wants is for you to admit it. That's all. When he came to Adam and he says, where are you? You think God did not know where he was? He wants Adam to recognize, I have messed up. If Adam were surrendered to the Lord and says, I have sinned, Lord, I ask you to forgive me. But then he says, well, that lady over here. We do the same. Oh, yeah, it was because they did it to me, and what do you want me to do? I'm just a human. No, you're just a human. You're a sinner. That's what it is. And you have to ask for his grace and mercy and ask you to forgive you. Amen? Whew. Thank you, Jesus. 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter 3, where we are, 3:14. It says, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil desire. I know that this is not, I know, Claudia, you're translating, but I just feel like I need to read to you before that. And Timothy, 2 Timothy 3. So just listen, because I don't think many people think that we are in the last days. When it's all over the scriptures. It's all over. Paul says, but mark this. He told his spiritual son, Timothy. Timothy, mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. Are we there today? Lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than the love of God, having a form of godliness but denying his power. Have nothing to do with those people. Have nothing to do with them. There's a lot of people, even in the church, who make believe. They say they're a Christian and they still have all this craziness. And the Bible says, do not hang out with those people, because they are a liar, they are hypocrites. And if you continue being with them, what you're doing is that you agree with the lifestyle and you are part of it. It might hurt somebody, and they might think that you want to be whatever, but you need to stand for Christ. And you says, I will not be part of the life. If you have somebody that he will, I don't know, hate somebody and he doesn't want to forgive them, and I don't care how you sell it, and I don't care what God says, you say, you know what? From this moment, you and I, we have to part. Because I will not walk with somebody who's going to hinder the blessings of God. I mean, the reason that God did not speak to Abraham while Lot did not separate from him, it was for that. You can read it. The moment Abraham separated from Lot, God spoke to Abraham. Before that, it was all downhill, all the way down to Egypt. And when they come out of Egypt, guys spoke to, they got into this agreement, Lot separated, and immediately spoke to Abraham and says, look, all you can see, I will give it to you now. Sometimes your friends can hinder the blessings of God in your life. Sometimes some people in your life can hinder God's blessing in your life, because their lifestyle is preventing you from getting blessing because you've been pampering or covering or smoothing. Tell them straight out, hey, you're wrong. This is wrong. You don't do this, and I'm not going to be part with you if you continue doing this. This is not part of the message. That was free, by the way. Now, 2 Peter, I'm sorry, I didn't read 2 Peter. 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter 3, from 3 to 14, says, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is this coming? He promised. Even since our fathers died, everything goes on as it is. As I have seen from the beginning of creation. See, many people will tell you, this is baloney. That Jesus is coming. I have heard this from my great-great-great-great-grandfathers even way back before that. And this is the same. It's always been craziness. It's always been seen everywhere. And what are you telling me that Jesus Christ is coming? Huh. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world at that time was deluded and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destructions of ungodly men. Are you an ungodly man? If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit is in you, you don't need to worry about this because we're not going to go through that. God is taking the church out. That's right, the wrath of God is not for the saints. The wrath of God is not for his children. God will take us out. God will. That's right, the Lord is coming before judgment to take his church, to take his children out of that destruction. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like a thousand years, and a thousand years is like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. You see why God has so much patience on the world? It's God's waiting for every human being to surrender. God is waiting for you to recognize that you are lost, that you're not walking with him, and he has mercy on you, and he's trying to continue waiting for you to recognize, I need to repent. I need to receive Christ. I need to give my life to the Lord. Have you given your life to the Lord? I pray that everyone here has. But if you haven't, today is the day. Don't waste another moment. And if somebody's watching through the media or whatever it is, listen. Don't listen to me. Read the word. Read those scriptures. And do what God's telling you to do. God's desire is that no one human being will perish. That's his desire. But the day of the Lord, verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people are you to be? You are to live a holy and godly life. That's the reason when I first started in Colossians 3, all this stuff, it should not be part of a believer. Because you know that this day is coming. It can come today. It can come tomorrow. It can come anytime. That's why you must be ready, because it could be today. And maybe I repeat all this, but I have to repeat it because the church needs to get it in the mind, let it go in the heart, and when it goes into your heart, you believe it. You have to believe it. It will be destroyed this way. Because the Bible says it. As you look forward to the day of God and its speed is coming, that day will bring about the destructions of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt under heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Woo! Come on, I'm excited to go. I'm excited for Jesus to come, and I'm excited to go with the Lord any day, for I know the place I'm going. I know the house that Jesus Christ is building for me. He went ahead of me. He says it. He told his people, I'm going to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, basically he says, if I'm telling you this, you got to believe it. I'm going to prepare a place for you so that you can be with me where I am. Ooh, come on, that's right. Paul says, it's better for me to go. It's better for me to be in heaven. But God has decided to stay with you. So living is game. I'm going to gain more life. I'm going to gain more soul for Christ. If you live one more day in this world, make it a, I don't know, a habit or whatever, you just get a soul for Christ. Yes. For living is gain. You're going to gain life. You're going to gain souls for Christ. But if you go today, glory to God. We are in heaven, Pastor Tom. Yes. Woo! Believers don't die. You gotta understand that a Christian would not die. A believer doesn't die. We have eternal life in Christ. Woo! Forever. Amen. Forever. We rejoice in the Lord. We give him all the praise. I have a way much more verses, but I can't read all of them. So I want to finish with just the prayer of Jonah. And we finish with that. You can stand. It's kind of a little long, but we can pray. But listen, if you are here and you haven't really given your life to Christ, so you don't know if you have or not, I don't believe that if you don't know, it's because you're not saved. There's no way that you are confused about being saved. I remember after I prayed the prayer of salvation a few times, and you know, in the beginning, you kind of, here and there, you kind of not know too much. But I went to this evangelist, and he asked me, are you saved? I said, yeah. And he goes, are you sure? I think so. And anyway, he went through all the questions, and he knew my wife at that time. He knew me. He says, are you married? I said, yes. And he goes, to who? I said, to my wife, Nilsa. And he asked me, how long you been married? And he asked me all this stuff. And then he goes, you see how you know you're married? That's how you have to know that you are safe. That's how you have to know that you are safe. So if you're not sure that you're safe, you're probably not safe. Because you got to know for sure that Christ lives in you and that you are a child of God and that the Holy Spirit lives in you. The day that you close your eyes, you will be in heaven. Okay? Because we have it. This is for sure that everyone will die. We're going to die. And eternal life is in heaven, but eternal damnation is in hell. So every human being will be alive somewhere. Amen? Okay, let's look at Jonah. And I'm reading this just for you to understand. Don't wait for you to be in the belly of the fish to pray. Don't wait for you to be in such a terrible time that you call upon God. We need to call upon God every day. Where is Jonah? Disappear. Oh, there you go. I got to read this prayer or this portion of the Bible to finish. But for you to understand, as believers, it's got to be a lifestyle of praying every day, asking God for mercy and asking the Holy Spirit to lead you every morning, because that's the only day you have. You might have tomorrow, praise God, but if tomorrow you're still here, tomorrow morning when you get up, you ask the Holy Spirit and you ask God to lead you and to show you and help you to obey the Lord. Connect your heart to the heart of the Father so that you can obey him. And ask the Lord what you have for me to do today. Holy Spirit, show me and teach me how to obey you. I want to be obedient. Every morning you commend your life to the Lord. Amen? So here, it says, from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God. He said, in my distress I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave I called for help, and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the currents swirled about me. All your waves and breakers swept over me. I say, I have been banished from your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The engulfing waters threaten me with the deeps around me. Seaweed was wrapped around my head, and to the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath buried me forever. But you brought my life up from the pit, oh Lord my God. When my life was a being away, I remember you, Lord, and my prayer rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving and sacrifice to you, what I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord, and the Lord commanded the fish, and the vomit Jonah in the dry land. Why wait to be in that situation to pray, to cry out to God? I always, and when I first became a believer, I always tell people to pray for my marriage. And my wife says, honey, people are going to think that we have issues. I say, no, I want to prevent the issues. I want to prevent the issues. So pray every day. Ask the Lord to help you every day, every morning, every night, and in whatever time you have. Yes, we can pray anytime, but you have to have a time that you're honoring the Lord, and that this is the time for you and Him, not in the crazy places. So, Father God, I just pray, Lord, that you help us. We surrender all to you. Father God, I pray that what you share with us today, Father God, that this message is not just for those who hear it, but this message is for the one who's preaching it. Father God, I want to be obedient. I wanted to listen to you, and I want to do your will, not my will. I want to surrender all to you, and I want, Father God, to obey you and everything you ask me. Father God, if it is in your word, I need to obey it. If it's the Holy Spirit tells me and it's in the Word, I need to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I obey it. So, Father, I pray that you bless your people today and help us to walk in obedience. Bless us, Lord. In Jesus' holy name, amen and amen. God bless you. If you need prayer and you need to come, don't leave without getting a prayer. And don't leave this house if you have not, you're not 100% sure that you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? God bless you. God bless you. Amen.
We hope you are blessed by this message. We encourage you to tune in wherever you get your podcasts, and we invite you to come as you are. Join our family at Global River Church, Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Grace be with you in Jesus' name.